Thank you. Be seated. And Barbara Peace will come and share our scripture.
Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Yesterday, our son Luke called me. He was up in Rochester with time to kill, driving around listening to the news on the radio. "This world is crazy," he said. "It's all crazy." It can feel that way, can't it? Crazy, overwhelming, so much negative energy, so many painful events, so much hurt and violence, so much that can make us angry and break our hearts. So I think the question for me again and again is, how do we live? How do we live as people of faith in these kind of times? I believe these words from Luke give us a clue. This is Luke's version. You may be more familiar with the version from Matthew. But they're brief. Brief words full of wisdom. And he starts with, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How many times does Jesus say that? They say the Bible says it about 365 times, one for every day of the year. Over and over and over again, the message to us is, don't be afraid. Our Father and Mother, God the Creator, the source of all life, is divine love and wants to give us what we need. And what do we need? Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven. Now, kingdom, of course, is a masculine word from an old, out-of-date political reality. So today, maybe we would choose to say realm or reign or kingdom, some like to say, or beloved community. It's a different reality that Jesus is calling us to live in and out of. And the heaven he calls us to is not just for someday when we die, but here and now. Heaven means it's not just of this material plane. It's of another dimension. And we are called to live into that realm. That realm of love and trust. Into the web of relationships with all that is around us. Into the love of God that streams daily through us. Filling us, empowering us. Washing away our fear, opening up our hearts. But how do we get there? How do we learn to live? How do we live beyond the negative energies? How do we face and confront and deal with courage and honesty with the painful realities of the world around us without being controlled by them? Without just being fearful and anxious and reactive. Jesus tries to point us to the way. And he says the way is one of letting go, of unclenching our fists, of opening up our hearts and our hands. Sell what you have and give to the poor. Make purses for yourselves that don't wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Jesus calls us to live into something more, something different, to invest in what cannot be destroyed, to seek what can never be stolen from us. Jesus calls us to give our energies toward the treasure that lasts, to give ourselves to the flow of love. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can that help us deal with the craziness, the pain and sickness of our world? As our son and I talked, we talked about the choices we make every day. We choose. Do we live in anxious reactivity to what's happening, or do we live with intentionality and purpose? Do we find our feet moment by moment, grounding ourselves in deep truth and love? Out of that place, we can give out positive energy. Out of that place, we can love, not just from our own efforts, not just from our egos, from our wills asserting themselves, but drawing from the deeper source, from the heart of love that we call God. It takes practice and it takes support, but we can learn to live more and more that way. We can allow our awarenesses to be changed, our consciousness raised. In Jesus' language, our eyes opened, our hearts transformed. Last week at the wisdom school that five of us attended, Cynthia Bourgeau quoted Albert Einstein. Some of you may know this, but I'd never heard it before. We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. So, she said, that means egoic problems can't be solved at the level of egos. That struck me deeply. Thinking of all the craziness and hurt and evil in our world and all the egoic efforts going into trying to fix them, and the ways that it does feel like it's really not working. We can't solve these problems at that level. Last week, on August the 1st, David Brooks, in his column in the New York Times, wrote about, as I read it, the ways that what he thinks our country is in the midst of a cultural and moral upheaval, a challenge to basic values, a spiritual crisis. And he said the answers cannot be found in more good policy proposals and material plans, which he says is most of what he'd heard in the Democratic debate. We can't fix problems on this level because our problems are moral and spiritual problems. Our hope and our healing can only come through responses that come from a different place, responses that come out of wisdom and out of love. Friday morning, I got an email from John Paul. He's a local artist that many of you know who's had connections to this church for a number of years. I had been promising John Paul and his wife, Katie, that I was going to come visit his studio someday, and I hadn't gotten there. So Friday's email invited me to come on Friday because it was the 74th anniversary of the bombing of Nagasaki. He wanted me to see his work, the Nagasaki Prayer Wheel. Some of you probably have seen it. It is a large metal creation, metal drums within metal drums, with images of water and earth, fire and air cut into them, and the phases of the moon up above and the sun at the top, and a wheel that you can turn in the middle. And as you turn it, the chimes sound that are hanging inside the drums. And an image of a little girl he knows named Angelina is etched on the side. A memory of all those irradiated and a living hope for the future. And to the side of the table, there is also, he had posted a photograph, a poster, a photo of a child who was one of the victims at Nagasaki, standing with her hand outstretched, the mushroom cloud behind her, and the words, "Once in a great while, An event so unspeakable occurs that the narrative ruptures and all our words run out. In silence, I tried to take it in, that terrible rupture, that event that has changed our history forever. But then after a few moments, I move the wheel, sounding the chimes. The deep one sounds with C sharp, the pitch, he says, of the great Om of creation. And what I felt was not grief or pain. What I felt was the love and the peace that John Paul had put into this work. I felt his higher consciousness, his deep spiritual work, and the healing made manifest through his labor. That's the kind of work we're all called to, each in our own ways. We are called to bring forth love, to bring peace through our labors. We are called to live from a higher consciousness for the dimension that we call the kingdom of heaven, the realm of God. We're called to do the deep spiritual work needed to make healing and love show through us. Yes, we're called to respond to needs around us, to act in love, to do justice and love mercy and kindness, but not just by our own efforts, not from the level of our egos. We need to be transformed to do our own work if we're going to offer love and peace to those around us. And as we do, as we open ourselves, we can receive the love, the positive life-giving energy that we then can share. Love can flow through us and make a difference that matters, a difference that can last. We heard Cynthia Bourgeau tell a story last week, and I looked up, she also blogged about it, so I also read the blog. In early November of 2016, Cynthia Bourgeau was in Britain visiting friends. She had been having a lot of concern about what was coming in the American presidential election. And on that particular day, they had been touring between England and Wales, and they ended their afternoon at the ruins of Tintern Abbey. It's the photo, a photo of Tintern Abbey is on your bulletin cover. She said the sun was setting and the air was cold. Other tourists had cleared out and they were there alone. Tintern Abbey was a Cistercian monastery founded in the 12th century. The Cistercians, you may know, were a reform movement of the Benedictines. For 400 years, this abbey was a powerful spiritual presence, a place of community and learning, a place of light and love. But then in the 1550s, when Henry VIII decided he really needed that next wife, and broke with Rome and dissolved the monasteries, Tintern Abbey was destroyed in one day. The lay monks were killed, the highborn monks thrown into prison, the valuables taken for Henry's treasury, and the abbey burned. 400 years have gone just like that. Only the stones left standing. It was abandoned for generations. Eventually, it became a favorite spot of romantic poets like Wordsworth and a tourist destination. But Cynthia said when she walked in, she could still feel the spiritual energy. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been to some other spiritual ancient spot. The energy, she said, was palpable. Peaceful, distinctly Cistercian. They were alone in the great sanctuary, open to the sky, with green grass covering what once was the floor. And she felt herself drawn more and more insistently toward the east window, the one in the photograph, and to the place where the high altar would have been. And there she found herself on her knees. The words of T.S. Eliot came into her mind. You are not here to verify or instruct yourself or inform curiosity or carry report. You are here to kneel where prayer has been valid. And she said she ended up prostrate on the grass. And there, she said, in some way she cannot explain, those ancient stones spoke to her. In a few timeless moments, their ancient knowing came to her. Let it be said, Cynthia writes, that when I rose to my feet, I already knew beyond doubt what the election results would be and where the wheel set in motion the following day would most likely end. My heart ached, but I was ready to face it. It was not that part of the message that left its mark, but the emotional feel that left her so transfixed, because what she felt was infinite tenderness and resolve. Somehow, she said, what was shared with me was the quiet endurance in the face of reversal, in the face of sorrow, in the face of atrocity. Yes, the stone said, we know. And yet through all of those, through all of this, something still stands. We are standing still now, the stones whispered to her, and see how we have drawn you here and you are listening. Do not look on us as a destroyed monastery, but as a living transmission. Know that what is forged in the alchemy of love is beyond the ravages of time. All else may dissolve, but this remains. Love remains. And in your own transfigured heart, you can always find it. The stones themselves held the energy, the consciousness, the love. In the understanding, as I get it, of quantum physics, their electrons, once entangled with the spiritual workings of that community of faith, still reverberate with its vibrations. They are still a living transmission of that light and love. The love that was there could not be destroyed. Cynthia said as she drove away, she heard the words in her mind of Julian of Norwich. Sin is inevitable, but all shall be well. All manner of things shall be well. Deep hope, Teilhard Chardin says, wrote, deep hope flows over deep time. Centuries, millennia. Cynthia went on to say in the lecture we heard, if even the most unimaginable were to happen, if all we know as human civilization were to be destroyed, the earth and stones would still remain, and they would still hold that energy, that consciousness, which was forged in the alchemy of love. That is the place we are called to live from. The kingdom of heaven, the realm of God. That is the place where we can find our feet over and over again. The place where we can be grounded. That is the realm where we are always held in goodness and love. No matter what is happening, no matter the craziness, no matter the deep distress around us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. To treasure that is forged in love is beyond the ravages of time. All else may pass, all else may end, but love remains. And in our transfigured hearts, we can always find it.